This is KVNF's regional newscast for Tuesday, September 7th. I'm Gavin Dahl. COVID outbreaks in Colorado schools more than doubled last week. Meanwhile, detection of new clusters continued in the state's assisted living facilities and nursing homes. The Denver Post reports state data updated Friday showed 242 active outbreaks. While the state is defining outbreaks as five or more cases linked to the same location or event, long-term care facilities must report an outbreak after just two cases. 2 weeks ago, Colorado reported 15 outbreaks in K-12 schools. Based on Friday's data, last week there were 42 schools with COVID outbreaks affecting over 350 students and 47 staff members testing positive. Most school outbreaks involved fewer than 10 cases, but not all. Natarita Elementary School in western Montrose County, for example, reported 26 positives last week. The West End Public Schools District website says remote learning was extended through last week due to, quote, the significant amount of illness that continues to be seen in our community. Classes there return to in-person learning today. Delta County School Board failed to update their weekly COVID dashboard on Friday, but since August 30th, there have been seven new COVID positive cases among children up to age 19 in Delta County. It has now been 6 days with no reply from North Fork Montessori Elementary in Crawford to KVNF's request for basic information about which grades were quarantined last week. The Grand Junction Sentinel reports there are more new pediatric COVID cases in Mesa County than any other age range. As of Friday, the Public Health Dashboard reported 102 cases of COVID among children aged 0 to 9 and 181 cases among 10 to 19-year-olds. A Mesa County Public Health spokesperson pointed out schools tend to have more rigorous testing policies than most other places, which can mean tracking more asymptomatic positives. Of course, that suggests there are more adults currently COVID positive than reported numbers demonstrate. In an opinion column for the Colorado Sun, the chief medical officer of Children's Hospital Colorado insists universal masking is vital to keeping children safe and schools open. San Miguel County has imposed an indoor mask mandate for the month of September. Telluride Daily Planet reports County Public Health Director Grace Franklin and the entire Board of County Commissioners were united in the decision based on the county's high incidence rate of the Delta variant of the coronavirus, as well as numbers related to hospital capacity and high levels of virus presence at the Telluride Wastewater Treatment Plant. Water success stories are hard to come by during this decade of worsening drought, but today Kate Redmond brings us the story of a milestone passed by the Lower Gunnison River.
The Lower Gunnison River was delisted from the Impaired Waters List in June. The Colorado Water Quality Control Commission deemed the Gunnison River in compliance with aquatic life standards for dissolved selenium. This represents 20 years of work on those 66 miles of the Gunnison River downstream of Delta by several agencies on what is called the Selenium Management Program. One of those agencies is the Colorado River District. I got to interview Dave Kanzer, known as DK, the Director of Science and Interstate Matters for the Colorado River District in Glenwood Springs. I asked him first to explain what is the Mancos Shell and why does it contribute so much selenium to the Colorado River Basin?
The Mancos Shell is a shale deposit with marine origins of Cretaceous age, and so that shallow sea inundated much of North America and left a very thick deposit over millions of years, over 1,000 feet thick in many places. And because of that, it's quite prevalent not only in western Colorado, but in eastern Utah, extends up the North Fork Valley and up the Gunnison, Lower Gunnison River, and into the Uncompahgre Valley as well. It's really close to the surface, close to the river, so when folks are engaging in agricultural practices, the soils that, especially in the North Fork and Uncompahgre Valleys, into a greater extent in the Smith Fork Valley up near Crawford, the soils are derived from the Mancos Shale, and so that salt and selenium is present really at the surface. And so when you are irrigating, you can mobilize that selenium and salt into the river system.
Their hard work has paid off. Selenium is an environmental toxicant which affects reproductive organs and small aquatic animals, even at trace levels of 4.6 parts per billion. The scientific method has to do with eliminating deep percolation into the Mancos Shale.
When water percolates deep into the system, it gets into that Mancos Shale and moves laterally. Through these improvements and investments, primarily agricultural, we can eliminate deep percolation, or minimize it at least, to just the root zone of the plants, desirable plants, minimize that amount of transport and mobilization of selenium to the river system. And we believe we've reduced somewhere in the range of 5,000 pounds of selenium as measured at the mouth of the Gunnison River.
The endangered native fish recovered through this project are the Colorado pike minnow, the razorback sucker, the bony tail, and the humpback chub.
These species are quite sensitive to these fluctuations, especially what we would call the young of the year, those fish that are just emerging from the eggs. And also, it's what we call bioaccumulated through the system. So that means as these species grow older, they can accumulate it in their system, in their sex organs. And when they lay their eggs, the selenium concentrations are elevated in the eggs, and that can lead to deformities and other things that really challenge the viability of those species.
The Colorado River District partnered with federal agencies to underwrite conversion of open earthen ditches and canals to irrigation pipes to cut down on irrigation water picking up salt as it heads back to the river system. Again, here is DK from the Colorado River District.
Federal agencies like the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation and the U.S. Department of Agriculture and their agency, the Natural Resources Conservation Service. Both of those agencies invest in agricultural improvements, enclosing open earthen ditches in the Mancos and putting them into pressurized pipe. So you eliminate that seepage and deep percolation and become more efficient and more water that is diverted then reach the fields. And at the field level, that's where the USDA investments have really come to bear, increasing the number of sprinklers, which are much more efficient than some of the traditional flood furrow that we see across the western U.S. So when we take them out of the furrows and the flooding of the fields, you would eliminate that deep percolation. You have much better control, uniform distribution, so that you're not getting water past the root zone and applying what the plant needs in an optimal sense.
The partners in the selenium project encountered barriers in the last 20 years, working to remove salt and selenium from the water.
It seems like a real common, straightforward approach to a problem, right? One of the main barriers is the cost, but there's also social barriers. And by that, I mean changing behaviors is difficult. Doing something different than what, say, your grandfather did as a homesteader is risky. The market fluctuates greatly, of course, we know, so that these investments don't always pay off in a short amount of time. The great thing that these agencies are doing is providing low-cost loans and grants, significant grants, to help agricultural producers become more efficient. It's a slow process. Over that 20 years, the adoption rates have gone up. The conversion from these open systems to much more pressurized and enclosed systems has increased. And in so doing, the good news is production levels have gone up. In many cases, your input costs go down, less labor is required. From that perspective, it's a win-win.
The declining selenium trend continues despite drought conditions with record low water levels across the western slope. For KVNF, I'm Kate Redmond.
That does it for Tuesday's KVNF Regional Newscast. Special thanks to Kate Redmond. I'm Gavin Dahl.